As the US battles China over tariffs and access, Europe and Japan today are toasting a new trade relationship. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A new trade agreement between Japan and the European Union starts today. The deal, which took 5 years to negotiate, creates one of the world's biggest free trade areas, covering nearly a third of the world's economic activity and 600 million people. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes has more from Tokyo.
From today, the 15% tariff on European wines entering Japan is gone. So is the tariff on pork. Beef quotas are being raised. In return, Japan's car producers will gain. The 10% tariff now imposed on all Japanese cars entering the EU will be reduced to zero by 2027. This should all be good news for producers and consumers. The prospect for British exporters, though, is much less certain. Once the UK leaves the EU at the end of March, it will fall out of the new free trade area. Japan's government has promised to negotiate an ambitious free trade deal with London, but only once the future relationship between Britain and the EU is fixed.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia wobbled as investors parsed the latest round of disappointing data on China's manufacturing sector and headlines that President Trump will sit down with President Xi Jinping to defuse the ongoing trade spat. And oil prices are holding steady after the U.S. benchmark WTI saw its best January gain on record. Now, India's government has unveiled its pre-election budget today. And when you're governing a country of 1.3 billion people, which includes one of the world's fastest growing populations of millionaires, as well as a high number of people living in extreme poverty, you've got a pretty tough economic climate to manage. The BBC's Samir Hashmi in Mumbai has details of the proposed budget.
This is the last budget of this government because elections are due in 3 months. So not surprisingly, this election was skewed and focused on the rural areas where bulk of India's population resides. There's a new cash scheme that has been announced for small and marginal farmers where they'll get a certain amount every year. There's a new pension scheme for poor laborers who work in these small industries without any social security or any insurance. 60% of those work in these kind of businesses. There were also some announcements for taxes. Some tax breaks have been given for folks who are working in the city who fall under a certain income bracket.
Now, the big question is, are these affordable promises?
That's an interesting question because some of the promises that have been made would cost the government a lot of money. But the thing is that because this is the last budget of the government, it's typically an interim budget, which essentially means that the schemes that are announced are all proposals, but may or may not get implemented because typically a new government will present a new budget. So they could reverse some of these decisions or they could tweak some of the policies that have been announced. So these are not binding on the new government to follow.
Now, the big problem in India has been that growth has been good, but it's been uneven. And part of that is because people paying income tax in India, the numbers are still pretty minuscule, around 5%.
Yes, that's right. I mean, direct income tax collection is a huge, huge problem. They are optimistic that it could touch about 10% maybe in a year or so because they have taken some measures in recent years to get more people to start paying income tax. The other thing is that if you look at India's population, more than 50% of the people in the country depend on farming. And for farming, there's an exemption on income tax. So essentially, it's the remaining 40% of the people who need to pay tax. This has been a challenge not only for this government, but even previous governments.
Samir Hashmi. Drones have been the subject of controversial headlines after chaos at airports. But in Africa, the technology has huge potential. The BBC's Jane Wakefield reports from Tanzania.
Not a swarm of giant bees, but drones taking off and landing from Mwanza on the shores of Lake Victoria, Tanzania. We may be some way from the likes of Amazon dropping parcels by drone, but in one corner of Tanzania, cargo drone deliveries are becoming a reality. In East Africa, only 25% of the population has access to all-weather roads within 2 kilometres of their homes. This leads to problems when transporting almost anything. Edward Anderson from the World Bank is based in Dar es Salaam.
You have a lot of people living in rural conditions that lack access to sort of typically urban services and goods. Facilities such as blood testing laboratories, cancer screening tests. So the rural economy in many large parts of Africa is held back by the cost of getting to and from urban centres.
The real-world potential for drones has so far only been realised by US startup Zipline in Rwanda. It began delivering blood in the small country in 2016. It has just signed a $12 million contract in Ghana for blood and medical supplies, as well as surveillance of mining operations for the government. A lot of Tanzania's experience with drones comes from the Zanzibar Mapping Initiative, where the Spice Islands were surveyed and mapped in detail by students and others. It created a highly skilled workforce. This is key for the African drone industry.
My name is Leka Tingitena. I'm with the Tanzania Flying Labs.
How important is it to manufacture the parts for drones, but also eventually the drones themselves locally here?
It's very important because you might break wings, do damage to the propellers. You don't want to end up in a situation where you're asking people in Switzerland to ship these parts to you all the time. It gets very expensive very fast. So we are looking at being able to 3D print some of these parts.
So what could we expect from the technology enthusiasts of Tanzania in the next few years? Edward Anderson from the World Bank.
I think African countries have been quite bold in terms of defining 21st century services that they aspire to develop. This is a very interesting space, not only to contribute to African development, but to learn about innovation from Africa.
That report by Jane Wakefield. Finally, drones also helping rare birds in the Galapagos who nest on the ground by dropping poison to kill off the rats who attack the nests. Drones faster and cheaper than helicopters. Happy Friday, folks. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.